This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Angeline Tay, and on today's show, we have co-founders of a social enterprise paired up with a consultant addressing issues on managing staff. Not your regular staff, because this social enterprise hires single mothers to man their central kitchen that produces cookies. But first, let's find out more about Simply Cookies.
My name's Sue. I'm the founder of Simply Cookies.
Hi, I'm Sarguna. I'm actually the co-founder of Simply Cookies.
How it all started was that I used to donate cakes and pastries a lot to the children at shelter homes. And I found out that 80% of them are not orphans. So these children actually come from broken families, single-parent families, or really poor families. Just by building more and more shelter homes, we're actually encouraging them to, all these parents to send their children over. We're not solving the root of the problem. So at that time, I was actually baking from home while caring for my kid. So I had this idea, eureka moment. So if I could do it, perhaps I could create the same opportunity for other single parents to work at the same time, take care of their children. And perhaps we don't need so many shelter homes, you know? And that's how Simply Cookies was born. Yeah.
So you actually call yourself a social enterprise, right? So tell us about the challenges of making this social cause, but into a sustainable business.
So social enterprise, we have to always balance the social aspect and the business aspect of it.
Yes.
So you need to be also socially responsible. You need to be responsible in a business sense.
Sustainable.
If you don't make money through the business end, then there's no more social enterprise going to exist.
Yeah.
So those are the challenges. Maintaining the balance is the key, you see. So having that balance is a bit difficult.
So how do you do it for Simply Cookies?
We start off in the beginning by trying to sell our product in a different avenue, more like a business-to-consumer style. Then we decided halfway through, let's go retail. So now Simply Cookies is actually in retail shelves, like Bangsar, Village Grocer, yeah. Jaya Grocer, Ben's Independent Grocer, Sam's Grocery. You know, so those are the few outlets we are in. And we are across from Penang.
Kedah.
Ipoh. Also Klang Valley,
of course.
Wow.
We'll be expanding to cold storage soon as well.
And this is in the span of
one and a half years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We interview a lot of social entrepreneurs and they struggle, right? They struggle to make this business work, but they are passionate about it.
Yes.
So how do you convince these supermarkets, retailers to bring on your product?
It's never about the social element.
Okay.
Yeah, supermarkets, retail stores, they do not care. It's all about margins to them. That's where the business part kicks in. You always have to make sure into any business that you go, you got to make sure they profit, they benefit, we profit, we benefit. Mm. So always think about what they want out of the whole business deal. Then only they'll probably, they'll engage you or they'll probably get the products from you. If you always sell the social element to them, it's like, no, I got to feed my team of 100 employees. Yeah. You know, it's your social cause. It's not my social cause. Sad to say, you know, unfortunately, this is the real materialistic world. Mm. Yeah, so never ever use the social element to talk to any other businesses. To end consumers, yes. Yeah, we are all very helpful people. We are very kind-hearted, you know, but when it comes to business, it's always the money and dollar sign.
It's how you sell your identity to them. If I give you something to ask, come and help me to donate to this home, you'll help once. And the second time when I come to you tomorrow, you'll say, I helped you yesterday.
Yeah.
Why am I going to help you again? You see? So we don't sell that element anymore.
Yes.
We tried. It's not we didn't try, we tried. So we change our aspect. Now we tell you, come and try our cookies. You taste it. I don't sell the products. I said, I let my product sell.
Yeah.
My product is my salesman. That's what we do.
So basically, you need to make sure your product is really good. Mm. All right? Then you couple with your social cause. And that's I would say that's the winning formula, you know?
So tell us about your impact under Simply Cookies.
We have trained close to about 40 single moms, okay, in terms of training. They come over to learn how to bake. And from there, we actually handpick those who are committed to work and those who can more or less travel a little bit to our kitchen and also our sales team. So when they come into our kitchen to work, we again identify their passion or they're probably a skill set, and we put them in different places. For example, we actually handpick one of the bakers to be our admin cum accountant staff because that's her passion. So she's handling all our accounts right now. Seriously. And also, we handpicked one from the kitchen team to be the sales front under Guna. You can probably tell about Ida.
So, my assistant is actually, her name is Norshada. She engaged all my retailers. She talks to them. She started off in the kitchen team.
Yeah.
How it happened is when she started off, she was in the kitchen baking and everything. So, during one roadshow, I sent her. I said, Ida, I give you a sales target. Can you do it? I said, okay. She took the challenge. She went in there. She did it 3 times more than what I expected.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then I told her, second day, I increased the amount. And I said, then she doubled it amount from the previous day amount. Then I saw there's a potential. She can sell. She can have a passion for it. So I said, fine. Let me train you. She doesn't know she's being trained, because if you tell someone that being trained, then they're a bit big-headed. So we did it very subliminally. And then 6 months later, I told her, this is the department. You take in charge. Now she goes and meet buyers. She talks to them. She has promoters. She take care of them. You know, if they have issues, she calls me and then we discuss. Then she tries to solve most of the things on her own. And she only studied up to UPSR, right?
Yeah. Qualifications don't
her
matter.
Qualification up to UPSR. You see?
You know.
And now I told her, look, next month I'm going to send you to English training. I want you to learn and improve your English. You know, and I want you to also improve your confidence in it. So she's growing, you know. For someone who doesn't know how to use a laptop, she emails, she handles my calendar, scheduling, everything. Yeah. That's how determined she is.
Okay. So our impact, I would say, breath-wise, it's hard to achieve. Okay, if you want, like, I've employed 100 single moms, it's impossible. How do you grow a company from one employee to 100 employees? It doesn't take, like, 2 months, not even 1 year. It probably takes 10 years, you know. But we focus more on the depth of it, because I believe there's lots of potential among single mothers. It's not like they do not want to work. They want to work, but their children are probably hindering them from working, okay, because they need to bring the children around. I totally understand, because I have to bring my daughter everywhere I go. Even when I go for pitching, any official serious events, I bring her along. She was crawling all around the floor when I was pitching to a group of jury judges.
And you were just trying to arrange a transport before coming into
exactly.
the studio.
Yeah, so this is the problem, I would say, with mothers, you know. So I want to make sure they have the same platform to excel. They need it, you see, because once given a chance, once given the right grooming and training, they can do it. You know, they can do it. So this is a sort of impact. Of course, we are moving towards hypermarkets, and with that, we need to build our factory. So we want to include an in-house babysitting service. So again, hopefully we can achieve the figures, the breadth of it, and also at the same time, the depth of it.
So tell us, how does it work then for Simply Cookies? You have single mothers, you train them, then you have your product, which is the cookies, and then you have retail spaces to sell them. Just walk us through this whole model.
Okay, so our cookies are made in our central kitchen. After they're being made, they're packaged, and then it'll be sent to our retail outlets. From there, my sales team and also some of my promoters will promote the cookies to increase the sales forefront of it. So we give sampling, you know, we do a lot of events. We have another event coming up by November 18 called Christmas Fun Bake 2. Last year, we launched this event at Taylor's University. And this year is the second. We're launching it again at Taylor's University again. So last year, we invited Datin Chiu Mei Fan. And this year as well, she's coming in. And she's going to be forefronting this event, launching this event as well. So those are the way that how we sell those products. And when we send them to promote, these are people with zero sales experience. Yeah. So the first day when we send them, they sell maybe one or two. Then we give them a bit of a pep talk and a training, you know, and then they're able to sell 50. People who never even step in foot in sales. So in Simply Cookies, we don't believe in quantity. We believe in quality. We want you to come out from your current pay scale. We want you to break free, come to the middle class segment. You know, we want you to pay tax.
Be the M40.
Yeah, the new M40. Yeah.
So, you know, because that's how then we can help government save money as well. Mm. They will not have to receive all this money give out by the government. Mm. And that's how you really solve social problems in the country.
Okay, so right now, how big is your team? Simply Cookies.
We, together with the board of directors, we are around 13 people.
13. Yeah. Okay. And then, you know, you're here to address a specific challenge, which is to build a HR department, right?
Yes.
That's why we have Param with us today. Param Murthy, founder of Muse Consultancy. We'll find out more about Param and the challenges where Sue and Sarguna, founders of Simply Cookies, are facing after these messages. Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Hello there, this is Enterprise, and we have Sue and Sarguna, co-founders of Simply Cookies, with us today, together with Paramurthy, founder of a HR consultancy called Muse. Why this combination today? That's because we'll be having a live mentoring session between the founders of Simply Cookies and Param. The issues we're looking at specifically today is how to build a HR department, especially when you have challenges in managing your staff. Before we head there, here's a little bit of background on Param.
I spent over 22 years in human resource and talent management. I started off with Intel in Malaysia, subsequently moved to a company called AIC Semiconductor. I was the senior HR manager for Dell Asia Pacific. Subsequently, I became the senior manager for Honeywell Aerospace. And my last job was as the HR director and talent management director for Schneider Electric. And I was responsible for the APAC region.
So Simply Cookies here, what are your plans in terms of having an HR department, and how can Param help you with it?
So as most startups go, we don't have a HR department.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a very core department, which is the sales, finance, and the operations at the moment.
Yep.
But HR, keeping the people, you know, taking care of people, you know, that's where we are lacking. And my first is, how do we even get it going, get the ball rolling in the HR? You know, how do we start the HR?
Start a HR department in a small startup.
Yeah. Not so massive like MNCs, but it's a little one, you know.
Yeah. So that first and foremost, the fact that you're starting off with your foot right is prioritizing the people, right? So I'm glad to say that the fact that you have actually gotten that in your attention, in your radar, makes perfect sense. Because majority of us would have thought about the production part, would have thought about the sales part, and immediately after talking about accounting. What we may tend to forget is, in order for you to run marketing, sales, and production, you need right people, the right talents. So therefore, in order for you to really build that capability in-house, is to actually have a plan, a framework. I wouldn't necessarily suggest that you must immediately have an HR department. Because we are such a small enterprise.
Exactly.
Yeah. And unlike large organizations, every large organization has a history. They all started small at some point. And they wouldn't have possibly started off with an HR director immediately. Correct? So therefore, they all evolved. And so are we. My suggestion would be, we can still get the HR support in multiple ways. You can look at engaging HR advisory panels that can give you the similar level of support. There are a bunch of recruiters out there who can assist you in promoting, recruiting the right people. I'll give you a simple example of what actually happened when I was in employment as an HR director. We were trying to engage and retain our employees too. And large organizations have the same challenge. So therefore, they came up with a plan that we possibly should recruit single mothers. And we also thought about recruiting back employees who had to leave because they have a family. Mm. You know, there are many women who had to leave their employment because they needed to support the home and their babies. But after several years down the road, as a child has grown, you know, they have lost touch in employment. And therefore, they don't know exactly where to go to. Yeah. The kids don't need them anymore. So they want to go back to employment. Sad to say, right? But, you know, they don't know how to get back to their jobs. And they may not necessarily be able to work 8 to 5 or 9 to 6.
Yep.
They have that need for flexibility.
Correct.
So therefore, companies did explore about re-employability of these moms. By equipping them back with, you know, knowledge or skills, you know, helping them with their resumes and interviews. But at the end, we felt that it was difficult because the needs of the moms is not really only providing feeding rooms and flexible hours. It's beyond that. You know, you need more support. So therefore, it was a little bit difficult. It was rather challenging for large organizations to operate such manner. Now, bringing back that experience back here, I would believe that if we can identify moms who are willing to come back to workplace, but in a very flexible environment, either start time or work hours, break time, having children at workplace, creating a child-free work environment.
That's what we do anyway.
Exactly. So that would be very enticing for them to come. The second question, though, is how do you engage and retain them?
Yeah.
Right? Because their needs are very different. We don't typically want to only promote salaries and bonuses alone, because that may not necessarily be what the single mom wants. Of course, the basic needs of money is there. Yeah. However, they needed bigger things.
Yeah.
You know, they need support. They need understanding from their new employer. They need to be able to be employed. Now, how many single moms out there gets proper training?
Yeah.
So if we can offer such things and make them become back competent, I think that would be very motivating for them to come and join us and build a career with you.
I think you've got that down pat, right, in terms of providing space for the single mothers and addressing their needs. I think the challenge here is that what are the problems that you're facing that you feel like you have to have a HR department?
Let me share what my point of view is. When we send them on the field, we know they need the income. You see, we don't want to give out handouts. You see, that's not how we practice. So when we give them the opportunity, they don't see the in terms of it. They know they can make the money. It's a very simple job, not that complicated. They do it for a while, and then they lose their vision. They lose their track, you know. So retaining them is that's where we have. We have one lady, very good, amazing sales lady. But now she is trying to balance her family life and her financial status. I said, look, I can help you. I'm going to give you this. But she's still in the dilemma of what to do, what not to do, you see?
Retaining them is definitely tough. And of course, probably they come with a whole lot of other burden, which I think to really understand each and every one of them probably takes a full-timer to go through it. Because, you know, if it's either one of us, we'll be spending probably the whole month understanding their problems and probably counselling them too, you know?
Yes.
So how do we strike a balance, you know, when we are such a small company and we still need to take care of them and we cannot employ a HR director to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so what's the balance point? How do we even go about it?
So perhaps if I could just share with you all, what do big companies do? Similar problem, different challenge, a different environment, right? So, and what are the fundamentals of human resource development? If you look at the basics, HR department hires the right people. They work on retention schemes. They look at engaging their workers. And then subsequently, they try to build career. They help you know, develop and grow in your career. And finally, they try to create an environment where you can grow and be successful in your career.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
If you emulate the similar system, though in a smaller enterprise, we probably can do something smaller from the standpoint of being able to really identify the right people, because not everyone may be in sync with your vision and goals.
Yeah, true.
So, there are plenty of single moms.
Yes.
But we really want to know who are those people who are actually motivated to be part of the team. So I think that's the first piece, right?
The interview session.
The interview, and you select the right people.
Okay, sorry if I interject. Yeah, we do the interview process as well.
Yeah.
We go them the first 3 months. They're all right.
Right.
Yeah.
Then after the fourth month, if the true colors come out, and then I go like, but isn't this, you know, when we tell them this is your job scope, we explain everything.
Yeah.
Right.
You see.
They agree.
Right.
They agree everything. First 3 months, angels.
Right.
You see. On the fourth month, then the horn starts coming out. On the full 6 months is the full embodiment. Right.
So how do we? Yeah, probably it comes with skill, like how you actually identify whether this person is telling the truth or, you know.
Right.
How do we nail that part of it?
Okay, great question. A question never gets to be answered even at huge corporate levels, you know. How do you hire the right people, right? So I'm still looking at the angle from an HR point of view. And I completely appreciate the fact that that's a challenging situation. I presumably would think that you still want to look at your targeted group of people.
Yes.
Which means to say that you know from your last year and a half or 2 years experience that when you hire people with this kind of background, this kind of potential issues has rised, right?
True.
So now you are looking at a population of people who has been successful.
Mm.
Yeah. So what kind of dynamics, what kind of characteristics, what kind of needs did they have? And what is it that motivated them versus the others? So if you can identify that, then you'll be able to actually say, look, this is the kind of profile that I require. And therefore, I'm going to be very targeted. Single mom with children, with probably a need of, some level of financial needs, then you'll possibly be able to attract the right pool of people. So attracting itself may be the, you know, you got to size it up. And the 3 months, the breaking point of 3 months is very standard. It's interesting to note that even in large companies, you will notice that anyone who has been with you for more than 3 to 6 months would potentially survive longer. But the ones who are going to leave you, you typically would be able to size them up between 3 to 6.
Yeah.
And that is why they have a probation period. Anyway, right?
It's always 3 months and 6 months.
Exactly. So that's when people also are trying to understand your culture, whether this is what they want to do long term. Now, the good news is, partly it's a good thing because if anyone comes, you know, in between 3 to 6 months and decides to leave, in a way, it's a good thing too because you don't want to keep them longer if they're not motivated and they're not aligned with your goals anyway. Mm. You know, so you don't want to invest in folks who believe that this is not what they want to do.
Mm.
So it's a good thing to some extent. But on the contrary, if you're having a very high turnover, then you really want to ensure that you're getting it from the right pool of people, the talent. Mm. Someone who is in need, someone is aligned with your beliefs, your goals and aspiration. Therefore, some organizations, even on the day one, they speak about what is the organization's goals and vision. What is it that we want to do?
Yeah.
We are a social enterprise. We still want to make money, but we also want to help the single moms. So we want to be very clear with the objectives and we let them decide whether this is what they want to do. Just like how we do it in organizations, you might bring them to your bakery, you want to bring them to your factory.
Yeah, it's actually a good move or not? Because
it is a good move.
They're saying you want to study someone, you should not bring them into the workplace.
Oh, I have a slightly different opinion.
Okay.
Mm. I think people should come and experience your workplace.
Then they can decide whether that's what they want.
Because
right?
if you do it in a hotel and then subsequently bring them into a kitchen,
they're
going to get panicked. They're going to get shocked, right? So they let them experience, right? Once they have experienced it, they can make a decision on the spot whether this is what they want to do.
Mm.
So organizations, institutions do that.
So we can do like a sneak preview of the workplace.
Exactly. You do an orientation that, you know, very good. I interviewed you. I like you.
Mm.
Let me take you through the bakery. Let me show you where the kitchen is. This is how we operate. This is how it works. What do you think? And then they will decide and then come and join you if they want to.
Can I also include on-the-job training for them in that orientation as we speak?
Well, I think that would... I mean, you probably want to do that right after they have decided to join you.
I see.
Because you don't want to train someone and then, you know, they're going to leave.
So on-the-job training, do we pay them?
Typically, you do because they're employed already.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, if I could just add one more point.
Mm.
I recently had an interaction with the director of talent from Google Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
And why I'm mentioning Google is because I know many of us would have possibly thought I want to be the small Google in my own ways. Now, I had an interesting conversation with him, and the outcome of the conversation that both of us agreed was that you don't need to emulate everyone in the industry. You got to create your value system. So if you're a small enterprise and you know you have your cookie as an organization, you have to have a relationship with that organization. So you create an environment that suits the people in you, and people should like the culture that they are working for. So you embed that kind of environment. So if people come there, they should know, okay, this is my company, this is the kind of values that we have, and this is what we enjoy, this is what I'm passionate about. There's some level of belonging, there's a sense of belonging to the institution. Then the moment there's a sense of belonging, you find that people are more engaged.
So how do you create this environment? That's up next. Paramuti, founder of Muse Consultancy with founders of Simply Cookies, Sarguna Sealand and Su Xiao Yin on Enterprise. BFM 89.9.
Better Finance Management. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Enterprise, and on today's show, we paired up a social enterprise called Simply Cookies with a consultant discussing ideas on how to set up an HR department. Sue and Sarguna are founders of Simply Cookies, and with them today is Paramurthy from Muse Consultancy. Earlier, they spoke about creating the right environment for the employees. In other words, setting up the right culture. And here's Sue.
So create the environment based on what we want?
It would be your vision with your workers' needs.
Endorsement.
workers' needs. You know, so you bridge that. You bridge that. Because if you have a vision that doesn't create a sense of belonging, then you're on your own. But if you want your teams to be part of your organization, then you need to create it. Many organizations invest in those things where they enable the employees to contribute thoughts and ideas on the things that they can do in order to realize the vision of the organization. So it's almost like, hey, you know, I get to decide the color of the walls that I want to have. I get to decide the way the kitchen has been designed. I like to have a say in how the childcare is planned for. The vision of the company is profit and helping single moms. But the single moms who are working with you get to decide how they can dictate or rather control their working environment.
I see.
Make sense?
Yeah.
So that way, you see that there's an involvement, there's partnership, and there's a sense of belonging in the organization.
How do we maintain strict and still humane? How do we maintain?
That's a very...
We always debate.
Yeah,
okay.
Because we always have this fear.
Yeah, exactly.
As we are climbing up, the humane element goes off.
Because we need strict guidelines, like, okay, the no's, the shoots, the shoot-nots.
Oh, absolutely. Clearly, you must have a guideline.
Yeah.
I mean, you are in an employment contract. It's between the employer and the employee. So in order to maintain harmony between the workers and you, you must have a code of conduct. Work hours, you know, do's and don'ts, ethical behaviors, all those things, because they are going to carry your brand. But how you institute it can be a little bit more designed to cater to their needs. You have a very targeted group, single moms, who are in need of certain support. So the code of conduct that you create has to be customized to meet those needs. You cannot have a code of conduct that says, these are my 10 commandments. This is a corporate sort of a setting. Now, it's nice to have that, but you don't have a set of employees who are aligned with that kind of goals. So how do you create an environment which is still regimented or rather in, still controlled, but yet can satisfy their needs? That is why earlier I mentioned about the word culture. It has to be a culture. It has to be an environment that people can understand. I'm still at workplace. However, there are certain, you know, needs that I need to satisfy for the needs of the organization and myself. So you have to bridge that. This is something that you can get advice. We can actually look at the organization and support you to design something and customize it for you and tell you this could be something that you can look at. There are a lot of expertise who can help you bridge that kind of culture. Just to sort of close that point, many organizations today, in order to hire, retain, and engage their workers, they invest more into building cultures versus spending money on benefits and salaries, because that doesn't sustain.
How do you invest to create culture?
Well, in order for me to answer that question, let me answer why you don't need to pay too much of high salaries and benefits first. Those are needs. You got to pay. You know, nobody's going to come work for you if you don't pay them salaries, right?
Yeah.
But you realize that these needs will never be enough.
Yes.
You know, if I pay you 1,000, tomorrow you think 2,000 is better than 1,000. Yeah. And there's 3, there's 4, there's, there's needs of the people, correct? But if I can have a working environment that supports my needs, you know, that have this flexibility, I don't need to necessarily come at 9. I can still come at 11 because I need to send my kid to school and prepare his lunch. And then be able to stay back until he finishes school, until up to possibly 5. That is the flexibility that I arrange with my boss. Then it gives me the support, correct? Now, it cannot be uniform because somebody else may have their child going to school in the morning. So then can I come from 3 p.m. or can I come early in the morning when I've sent my child to school? So, but you're going to now have 2 different work hours. Yeah. How are you going to manage that? Now, that's the kind of support that single moms may require.
Yes, exactly.
But we do that at the moment, actually.
Right.
Like I mentioned, like Sue mentioned earlier, one of my accountants, she doesn't come in at 9. She comes in at around 1.
Yeah.
Why? Because she needs to send the kids to school.
Prepare their meals.
Prepare the meals, everything. She comes in at 1. She goes back at 6. But my company is still a small scale, so I don't need a full-time, full-blasted accountant at the point. But she comes in as flexible. She takes care of certain documents and everything. Like my assistant, Ida, she comes in. She doesn't come in sharp at 9. She comes in like 9:30, 10. Sometimes she goes home early. But sometimes...
She works she really late.
Really late, you know. But she doesn't come into work. But then she, on her off days also, she works sometimes. But that's her spirit, you know, her motivation, her drive. She wants to do that. You see, we give her those flexibilities. But when it comes down to operations, it's back to square one. We have to limit that because we have... that
of
time
course.
To deliver because customers give us a product, we have to meet the deadline. And by hiring too many, we will lose out money as well. So we have to limit the number as well in terms of that. That's where we're struggling. More towards when production,
How do you make sure
the flexibility of it, you know?
And the production still goes on without affecting the production. You know, you have people who come in at 3, go off at 5. You have people coming at 12, go off at 5. Mm. But you still need the production to go on to produce X amount of cookies.
And also the number of the people, they feel, I work from 9 to 5. I put more effort. She works 12 to 5. Didn't put enough effort. That is an actual complaint that I get very regularly.
Now, even though they are paid, based on the hours, but they still complain. They can come at 3 and go off at 5. But hey, they are receiving less money compared to you, right? But they don't.
That's the perception, right? So that's the outlook of, I'm comparing myself with somebody else. Now, I look at two things here. The two possibilities or options for you is, number one, you might consider the structure of your organization, or rather your enterprise itself. While there are certain operations within your business requires full-time dedicated individuals who need to run some operations, for that kind of business, you might need to look at dedicated support. It may or may not be single moms, but it depends, right? Of course, our motivation is to support single moms, but in that particular operation, this is also partly to help the rest of the single moms too. Then you might have a dedicated individual who can run business for you on a dedicated basis.
At least the single moms get to get their flexibility.
Exactly. So that way you invest, and that's going to be your investment, right? So you're going to put someone there who manages the operating hours, and then the rest of the single moms have that flexibility, because then you don't have to have everyone at their similar work hours.
Okay.
That possibly could be one option. The second option I could think about is perhaps your compensation package can be a little bit more enticing. When I say enticing, is you can be creative about it. Rather than paying by hours, would it be better for the single moms to earn more if you pay them commission? For an example, you have a 50-50 or a 60-40 breakout. You know, they get 60% of a fixed income, and then the balance is based on commission. How many cakes do you bake or how many cakes you sell? Then I pay you based on that. Now this is what's going to happen. Where now, you know, there's a carrot, right? So now I'm going to say the more I bake, the more I'm going to get. It's not about the hours. It's about quality versus quantity.
We
it's going to
think
be
of
the results.
That weighing that they produce.
The thing is,
right. You must have some parameters, of course, right? So you've got to meet certain standards. It has to be edible, obviously. but, you know, you control it and say, look, if you can meet all these criteria and you produce X number of cakes, and therefore you're eligible for this commission, and therefore that might promote them to be more engaged. All you know, they might be hitting the targets. It helps you to hit your margins. It helps them to earn more.
But because we tried planning this out before, but measuring it was a big hurdle.
Yeah.
We tried it with two people only.
Right.
Didn't turn out what we expected. It was a bit messy here, messy there, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this way we might be able to gauge it. But which one would be better? An individual effort or a group effort?
What do you mean? For the commission?
Yeah.
You can do both. You have an individual motivation whereby you create a commission system that says, as an individual, the more I bake, more I get. Or you might say, okay, I'm going to create 4 teams. If this team produces most, the team that produces most gets a bonus at the end of the month or end of the year or end of the quarter. So, that's a good question in a way too, because when there's a sense of competitiveness and people tend to be pushing for more, it's a self-driven thing, right? Mm. Because now I'm competing with another group of 4 moms.
Mm.
So perhaps that would give me an urge to, I really need to rush after school so that I can bake more.
So basically the KPI.
The KPI. Mm.
Perfect.
Okay. Well, any final thoughts?
I think we are on the right track. It's just that implementation is tough.
Yeah.
Implementation, it takes a lot of man hours, I would say, especially if you want to drill down to the KPIs and everything.
We know at least we're in the right track.
Yeah,
We, in terms of the fixed point, you know, having a fixed team, a core team to take care of the production, we all have, you know, so we are on the right track, and we believe some of the points that he mentioned, we can implement it, trying to motivate them to increase the production capacity and output of the end of the day.
Yep.
Same as the sales target as well.
Yeah.
Okay. And how can people find more information about Simply Cookies if they want to support and find where they can get your
pages.
Cookies?
Yeah. So Simply Cookies, you can visit our Facebook page, Simply Cookies Asia. You can also check us out at our retail outlets.
Yeah, please do.
You feel free to drop by New Central in around Klang Valley, Bangsar Village, Ben's Independent Grocer in Publica, Batai, Glomag, Shalam as well. We're there in Neutropolis as well. Where else we are? In Bukit Jelutong. We're going to be in a few places, so just feel free to drop us out. We're in Jaya Grocer, Ben's Independent Grocer, Village Grocer, and Sam's Groceria. So people in Penang, Ipoh, you know, feel free to engage. And also Kedah, not to forget Kedah.
Wow.
That was Sue and Sarguna, founders of Simply Cookies, with Paramurthy, founder of Muse Consultancy. If you have certain challenges of your own when it comes to running your own business, do share with us by writing to us at enterprise@bfm.my. And thank you for listening. I'm Angeline Tay, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.